Blog Talk Radio.
We're starting the show a little early tonight with the possibility that Don Gallimore might call in, our spokesman for Black Lives Matter from Reno, Nevada, NAACP. I'm reading off the Mother Jones webpage now. Officer Ray Tenzing's body cam footage has been released. Now, he's only a university police officer, which really, when it's in the university realm, a lot of times they're just cops that are utilized to monitor safety on campus, you know, scan the area, make sure there's women are being have safety in their walks home, that type of thing. The University of Cincinnati, they did choose to immediately fire Tenzin following the indictment. Tenzin, who has turned himself in due to a court appearance that will happen already tomorrow, the Hamilton County Sheriff's spokesman, Michael Robeson, has told the AP that Tenzin will be jailed overnight before his court appearance. In other words, they probably have not established the bond, but of course they haven't. There's no charges yet, but the man is not going to be free for even one day at this point. Samuel DeBose, which is the name of the man who was killed, held a press conference in which the mother, Audrey, said, "I can forgive him. I can forgive anybody. God forgave us." I guess she's following in the footprints of the South Carolinian church that offered automatic mercy to the assailant. Mark O'Mara, which I thought was a strange attorney choice for the DeBose family, he's the same guy who represented George Zimmerman, has asked the community to respond in a peaceful and non-aggressive manner. We'll see what happens. Cincinnati is a relatively conservative part of Ohio. It's in the southern portion of the state. It's a lot whiter than places like Cleveland. Cincinnati Mayor John Cranley said in a statement, "We want the just, fair thing to be done. We want the truth to come out." He also noted that the Hamilton County prosecutor was not pushing an agenda, but doing the right thing by Spike Lee standards. Cranley told reporters Tuesday that everyone has the right to peacefully protest, but we will not tolerate lawlessness. However, as citizens of the United States, we have to tolerate lawlessness every day by law enforcement. This is more than a phenomena. It's more than people who are disillusioned. When law enforcement can't cope and has to act out in this type of manner, usually with guns and death, scary sight. Now, I was driving through Duluth today. I had several stops, and I noticed, I literally saw three mentally unstable people in two different parts of the city screaming out at the street. They were talking to themselves. There was another man on the other side of town by West 27 saying, "I deserve more than this." And he was like a semi-dirty homeless man. However, across the street from Holiday is the Salvation Army, so maybe he was turned down for some type of emergency assistance. Well, here we are tonight. Don must have fallen into a deep slumber because he said he had five meetings today and five meetings tomorrow. John will be calling in the next 5 minutes. I'm giving you the intro now, but I'm not going to go any further. I'm playing the rest of Human Tragedy. You know what? I think I'm going to shift gears and play Master's Hand. We haven't heard that one very much. Okay? Here we go. We'll be right back. Well, that song ended abruptly. So anyways, I advertised on Twitter, hopefully we'll have some callers, for Black Lives Matter and Cecil the Lion. Combining two concepts tonight, the first one is Black Lives Matter. It goes without saying that there's going to be another killing next week of a black man by, it doesn't matter the color of the officer, but it seems that it's open season in America. Black men are being killed weekly and daily by law enforcement. On the other hand, I do want to add, though, that 5 white men were killed by a naturalized citizen in Tennessee less than 2 weeks ago. At the centerpiece of this conversation is gun control, but there's something deeper and more disturbing behind the situation, and that includes law enforcement, who apparently don't have the mental capacity to do their job. They find it necessary to kill on spot. They obviously don't have a rational form of thinking where they can, in an emergency situation, assess the situation and decide what the best thing to do is. Now, in the case of this recent Cincinnati shooting, this was a university police officer. Their only duty is to maintain the security and safety of the campus. Somebody with a missing license plate is not really considered a threat. Now, apparently this guy didn't have the proper ID, and he probably was being profiled by what he drove and what he was wearing. But even so, does somebody wake up in the morning and decide one day that they're just going to kill somebody? Or even if it's an afterthought, that's even more disturbing. I find the series of events starting way back with Trayvon Martin going to Ferguson, Eric Garner in New York, Tamir Rice, all the way to present day, a rather disturbing streamline of behavior patterns that seem to make it more common and hopefully not more acceptable. I'm hoping that it is not acceptable for officers when they go home at night watching the news to think that their actions can become more casual based on the increasing tragedy of American criminal justice system and the implementation of a leadership force that could help their understudies or police officers in training make better decisions on how to cope with a emergency matter. Now, in the case of a missing license plate, it's not an emergency. He was not in crisis, so he had no reason to shoot. John just jumped in. I'm glad he got off work in a timely manner. So here he is. I'll pull him in. Hi, John. Good evening.
Reel me in. It's hammer time.
We've already played, Don is not with us, but we played Master's Hand and Human Tragedy, and I gave a brief introduction to the murder in Cincinnati and the overall scope of how, what I was trying to advocate is no matter where in the country a situation happens with overuse of force by law enforcement, people don't seem to be getting the message that there's a better way to handle situations, especially if you're a police officer in training. You think that people would be paying attention by now, that there are better methods to handle minor and major emergency situations. Now, being, you know, I didn't know much about the Cincinnati thing till today. Did you hear anything about it?
I saw a couple articles, like when you go on Yahoo or AOL, that kind of thing. I didn't really look at it in depth just because of time restraints. It takes a little time to delve into those kind of matters, so usually I'm just trying to hit things as quick as I can. Plus, I have to keep up with the Kardashians, and those are, you know, priorities in life because every other article is about them in the news.
Or Taylor Swift. You know, it's I will get into the joking part of that later because I saw four subsequent episodes of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. The other night it was right before Bruce Jenner decided to start modifying his appearance. So it was the end of the season. But before we jump into joking.
He could change his last name to Kardashians. How about that? Caitlyn Kardashian.
How about
that was an original?
How about that was funny? How about Caitlyn Jeter, like Derek Jeter, avoids confrontation? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's late at night, and that joke crashed. So, a white university police officer shot an unarmed black man, Samuel DuBois, during a traffic stop, in which the man was missing a license plate only. However, later on in the conversation, the man could not produce an ID, and I guess he was getting pissed off at this officer who had a body cam on him. So he basically decided he was going to drive away. Well, guess how the university police officer decided to stop him from driving away?
Maybe he's trying to shoot his tires out, and he missed.
Well, the body cam indicated that he was within probably 1 foot of his head. He shot him in the head. And the Hamilton County prosecutor, Joe Dieters, said it's the most asinine act I've ever seen a police officer make. So this guy, Mr. Ray Tenzing, was brought immediately into custody and charged with murder. They didn't dilly-dally or waste time like the Ferguson Police Department. Plus, it was a lot less complicated. There was a body cam, and everybody could see what happened.
That's really sad. And, you know, I actually I tend to favor cops on when they pull people over, stop them, tell them to, you know, produce this or that. And if the person's belligerent and giving them attitude, I just think that their job's hard enough. I had a couple situations with people where they're asking me stuff. Like I'm talking like work. I'm talking about relationship. You know, they have a question. I go, well, this is what I think. And they go, and then they reapproach it. And I say, this is still what I think. And literally, you know, everything blows up. It's just like, okay, don't ask me what I think. I'll just tell you what you want. Oh no, I don't want you to tell me what you want. And you kind of sit there and go, you know, if I was just an impatient person, I think you just want to pull out a gun and go, goodbye, you know, end the conversation. I mean, if you're a cop dealing with that every day. But in this case, they are trained to stay calm no matter what. And you just don't shoot, you know, there's a certain point you go, unless
well,
you kill your life, right?
John.
You don't shoot people for anything.
Tenzing. Okay, I did miss a key point in the discussion because it was later in the article. Ray Tenzing, the officer, what happened was the license plate was missing, and then he tells the officer he has a license, but it's not on him. This is what Mr. DuBois told him. A few seconds later, DuBois is shot in the head. Now, the reason why his car rolled forward is because his dead body hit the gas, like the foot. It's not because he tried to escape. The black man who had 10 children.
I guess the question always, oh boy, there's several questions. The first question is, at any time did the officer feel in jeopardy? And then you kind of sit there and go, okay, was this a bank robber? Was it a dangerous person? You go, okay, this is a guy who has 10 kids, and he's in a car. I mean, is this guy really going to run? I mean, maybe if he had a bomb in the back of the car.
Well, he didn't have 10 kids with him. He has 10 kids in real life.
Right, what I'm saying is, I guess what I'm saying, usually if you pull someone over and they have kids, there's like kid toys in the back of the car, right? There's ice cream cone crumbs. usually your parents, I mean, I can tell, like, when I would meet you, you know, there'd be Lolo's stuff in the car. You usually see a squeaky clean, spotless, you know, vehicle. It looks like kids have been there. And the point is, he probably wasn't like a guy with 5 tattoos and just straight from the gym, all roided out with the, you know, looks like he's got a gun somewhere in the car. You know, he's probably just a dude, you know, slacking.
He was a black man he was a flashy dresser. He kind of had a red hat on. It was like a golf hat, but kind of like a paisley pattern and a pretty red shirt.
Did he look like a pimp?
No, he looked like, I hate to put it this way, but he looked kind of like halfway between, you know how, like, have you ever seen black men walking around, like, with plaid shorts and, like, nice tennis shoes and then, like, maybe a pretty colored golf shirt? Like, he looked like somebody who was just trying to dress kind of nice and be his own person. But it didn't look like he had a trademark image.
Right. So it didn't look like he was a danger to society. And, you know, so he's got a missing license plate. That's bad. But on the other hand, I think you have to read people and go, this guy, he's not going to go down the street and, you know, shoot it up. So you kind of sit there and go, even if he was driving away, you wouldn't kill someone over that. You'd, you know, report it, jump in your car, get your siren going and pull him over. But and then on the flip side to that, if you got 10 kids, what are you doing giving any attitude to a white cop?
Well, he didn't. He didn't give any attitude. He said that I do not have a driver's license. I do not. I mean, he said I have a driver's license, but it's not with me. That's
yeah.
all he said. He
and
didn't
the guy
give him attitude.
And the guy pulls out a gun and shoots him.
Yup.
There's got to be a little bit more than that. A little bit? A teeny bit?
Can I start over from the beginning?
Okay,
he had been stopped for a he'd been stopped for a missing license plate when the officer approached the vehicle with the body cam.
Right.
He asked the man for his driver's license. The man said, I have a driver's license, but I don't have it with me. So, therefore, the cop could have asked him for his name and birthday and gone back to his car and looked up his driving license record. But he didn't do that. He just he thought that the black guy started the engine back up. Which I don't even know if the black guy ever turned the engine off. So that's one thing I really don't know. So I'm not going to say, but needless to say, shot him.
What I'm saying is you have a cop with a cam thing going on. He knows it's being recorded. There had to be some interaction. Like the guy turns the key and acts like he's going to drive away or he's looking at him weird and, yeah, or said something, and I, again, that's no justification to shoot him dead. But what I'm saying is, if you are a black guy, a minority, a Mexican guy, a Korean dude, and also time of night, location, the point is, I always got both hands on the wheel where they can see him, and I always talk very plainly, like, officer, hi, how can I help you? If they say, you know, you get your driver's license, I tell them, like, I'm going right now to open my glove box with my right hand. I leave the other one on the wheel. I go, okay, I'm opening it now. I'm pulling out my license with these two fingers. I'm handing it to you. You know, people go, that's dumb. No,
we're probably not qualified to cover this topic, and I'll tell you why. Because I just went from Mother Jones to NBC News, and it says on the NBC News website that it was a green 98 Honda Accord just south of the university campus. During the news conference, prosecutors played footage from the officer Tenzin's body cam. The recording shows the officer asking Du Bois about a bottle he sees on the floor of the car. And Du Bois hands it to him. Officials have previously said that it was a bottle of alcohol. He then asked Dubois several times if he has a license on him. Dubois asks what he is being pulled over for. He tells the cop he has a license but not on him. After Tenzin asks him if his license is suspended, a short scuffle ensues. Now, mind you, the news has emphasized it was not a physical scuffle. It was a verbal one. A few seconds later, Dubois is shot in the head while still behind the wheel. But the fact is he never tried to get out of the car, and I did watch it.
Bingo. I said, if you know, there had to be something that got the officer off. And what I'm saying is, I'm not saying he's justified, but what I'm saying as a minority who's been pulled over, interrogated, questioned, even handcuffed, innocently, I've walked away alive because I don't play a dumbass. And all I'm saying is, he was a dumbass. You don't argue, you don't raise your voice, you don't question the officer, you just say, yes, sir, this is what I'm doing, you know, and blah, 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 and you walk away alive. Now, yeah, the cop is wrong. You don't shoot and kill someone unless you feel your life is being threatened. And this guy wasn't a threat. So it's a tragedy. Both sides.
Okay. I'm not doing this show because I'm trying to prove that one person was guilty and one person was innocent. I'm doing this show because I was trying to make a tragic parallel between the lion being shot in Africa and this
right.
black man being shot. And this is my parallel. We are no longer in a survival mode where we have to hunt and forage for food. Now, let me just finish my two-sentence statement so it makes some sense to you. For example, there's a Minnesota dentist who's extremely wealthy. He pays two people to allow him to go into a protected park to shoot a lion with a bow and arrow. He didn't do it for a survival tactic, like he needs food to put on his family's table. He did it because he's an overprivileged, white, wealthy American. Unfortunately, he's from Minnesota and lives in a luxurious house. Basically, he went over there across international borders, found two people in Zimbabwe who were going to take $50,000 from him to arrange this. He trusted those people, but he didn't realize that there was some dirty business behind it, like the lion didn't really deserve to die. Now, there was something on the news tonight about the lion being 13 years old and it wasn't an active member of the sexual colony anymore. You know, like it was a dying breed, in other words. But
right.
I was trying to transpose that ideology onto America. Like, is this particular cop officer Tenzin, is he a person who's a mental case, who was trained and groomed to be a police officer and didn't have a rational way to handle a situation that he didn't know how, so he just decided to shoot? Or is he part of a national trend that's trying to make black men extinct in the same way this man metaphorically shot the lion? And that's where I was trying to go with the topic tonight. I wasn't trying to dissect if this Tenzin creature should or should not have killed Dubois. Now, Dubois probably wasn't the most stellar human being. He was probably lackadaisical and broke some laws, like he didn't upgrade his driver's license. But even so, there's a lot of people who don't handle their business. And it doesn't mean that they're going to be dead on arrival. Your turn.
Yeah, what I'm saying is, it's not the lack of license, a missing license plate, or a liquor bottle. Hello, three strikes. You know that raises a cop's suspicion. It raises, gets him all uptight. But then he dumbass wants to throw attitude, and that's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, you go into a bar and you start talking smack, and someone beats the crap out of you and go, "Hey, you were a dumbass." Now, does that make it right what the cop did? No, terrible situation.
I guess my main premise is why couldn't he have asked him to step out of the car? You know, there was a woman last week who was crossing the country to start a new job, and she had a tail light out, and she was brought to prison, and she killed herself. I mean, jail for the weekend.
Well, I think it's a power struggle, and one guy has a gun, and he's got the law on his side, generally. So, and the other person's testing that authority. The other person may be resenting it, you know, being a minority, feeling he's being singled out. Well, if he was a black man driving a nice car, getting pulled over, which happens in nice areas like Beverly Hills, you know, if you drive a $100,000 car and you're a black man, and you get pulled over, and you go, why am I getting pulled over? It's like, well, maybe you're a drug dealer. It's why. Can't black people be successful and live in, you know, Beverly Hills or Palisades? But the point is, in this case, you set yourself up to get pulled over when you have all those facts. You know, I'm going to have a missing headlight and go down the street. I wonder if a cop.
No, a missing license plate. No, this.
I'm throwing my own thing. Is something obvious like a missing headlight? They're going to pull you over. I didn't say this guy had it. I'm saying if I do that, right? If you're driving around with a missing brake light and you know it, you know someone's going to pull you over, right? Are you going to throw an attitude at a cop? Well, if you don't want to get beat up, you know, I mean, I wouldn't. But some people, they got to do it. And it's sad because then they get...
I agree with you on some level. Like, okay, let's say I left White Bear Lake tonight and drove 2 hours north to Duluth. First of all, I wouldn't have an open bottle in my car if I was missing any type of light fixture or a license plate in the front. Second of all, I would have my driver's license on me. Third of all, I would have my insurance papers in the glove box, because one time I was pulled over in early 2014 right after I purchased a car, and I didn't have the brand new car insurance in the car because I had just bought the vehicle, and they were jerks and they towed me. So I would have all those things, all those ducks in order. Even if I was college age and maybe drank a beer in the car, which I probably haven't drank alcohol in the car for 30 years. I did one time maybe in the 1980s. I would have it concealed like in one of those cooler things that you put around a can or something, you know? Like, I don't know. Let's just say that I was
mischievous. How old was the gentleman that got shot?
Well, if he had 10 kids, he must be at least 40, but let me look. Hold on. By the way, the one who shot him doesn't look a day over 25. Dubois was 43.
Yeah, so there you got...
The victim
know,
was 43, and the other guy was probably 25 or so.
Right. So you kind of have a perfect storm. You've got a kid, you know, a young anyway, certainly not an experienced person. So he's probably got attitude. He's a little trigger happy. And then you got someone who's been around the block who should know better, but maybe they're pissed off of a lot, you know, 20 or 30 years feeling that the man is after him or the police, the law establishment is after him. And maybe a little more than a white person. Sure. I'm Mexican, or half Mexican, so I know that. I mean,
but you're half Mexican and half German. No, I'm in a place.
At 1 o'clock at night, in a dark alley, I'm a Mexican. When a cop pulls me over, they're not thinking I'm a white boy.
Well, you talk like a white man. Here, I'm gonna play the 2 minutes of footage. Okay, 1 second.
Nice.
Here we go. It stopped just a second.
Hey, how's it going, man? Good, lots of good meet people. You have a license on you?
Yeah,
what happened? What are you talking
about? Is this your
car? Yeah. Let's come back to the female, actually.
Yeah, it's my wife. My name is Sean DeVries.
Okay. We don't have a license plate on the car.
Oh, I just got my mail box.
What's that?
It's right here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's got to go where the front plate's supposed to go. You don't have to reach for it. It's okay. Do you have a license on you? What's that bottle on the floor there? Oh, the bottle. What? Okay. Do you have a license on you? Okay, do you know where that is inside? Is that or what? Okay, I'm going to ask you again. Do you have your license on?
I have license. You
can put one
in there.
So you don't have your license on you? I'm asking you a direct question. Do you have your license on?
No, I didn't. What did you pull me over for?
Again, the front tag.
But it's not illegal to have a front tag.
Okay. Actually, it is. I'm going to ask you again. You have a license on you?
I have a license. It's on my name.
Okay. Is that not on you, then?
I don't think I have enough.
Be straight up with me. Are you suspended?
No, I'm not suspended.
Why don't you have your license on you?
I'm sorry. I'm
going now. Okay. What do you say, down here? Okay. Well, I still have to figure out if you have a license. Go ahead and take your seatbelt off. Go ahead and take your seatbelt off.
Stop. He started his car and he shot him. He said, I didn't do anything. The guy told him to remove his seatbelt. I think he was going to ask him to get out of the car. He started his car and he shot him. Well, there you go. It started out kind of friendly. Hi, how you doing? You know why I pulled you over? And, yeah, I wouldn't have shot him. But here again, there's like five or six things the guy did that was dumbass, right? You start arguing with him. You're not answering the question directly. You kind of get the attitude of like, hey, I'm not doing anything really bad. Why are you bothering me, officer, with all these glaring problems? Well, he said I have a license run my name 3 times.
Right. But when it comes down to, if an officer tells you, like, you don't start to drive away when a cop has a light on you and he's talking to you. I mean, what neighborhood did he grow up in? Where did he go to school?
The guy seemed pretty laid back, like, oh, by the way, I think the hat was kind of like a Kanga hat. It was red with a pretty white design. You know those Kanga hats they wear in the hood? He obviously didn't have...
If I see that, I would like it.
He didn't have his ducks in a row, but he still didn't deserve to die. He didn't deserve to die.
No, but then again, if you start your car and there's a cop next to you, what do you think he might do? He's going to physically try to stop you. And then again, is he going to get stuck halfway in a window? No, it is stupid that he would shoot
someone. Well, you were right. He should have shot the tire.
Or you did a warning shot. Shoot it up in the air. I mean, like, what was he thinking? Because, I mean, you're going to have to account for it. You know they're going to interrogate you, like, did you feel your life wasn't threatened? Did you think this person was really a dangerous? He could say, well, I guess maybe he's under the influence and he could kill someone. But still, no, he wasn't a dangerous person to apprehend. The thing about it, though, I think as much as it was about race, I think it was all much about being, or in other words, if you act stupid, you could be Mexican, redneck. You're going to tempt a cop to take a shot at you when you walk away from them.
I think the whole thing, John, well, we covered all the bases. The man, okay, I do disagree with you on one level. The form of communication verbally that Sam DeBose was trying to say is, could you please run my name? I do not have my license on me. But he wasn't clear enough in the way he said it. So I think the cop was getting frustrated with him. He wanted a more direct answer.
Right.
So
the cop wanted him to kiss his butt. And the guy was not making the connection that you just don't want to throw toot at a, you know, a person with a gun and handcuffs who can take you and arrest you. I mean, that's just the basic concept. Now here's the question: is that fair? No. Is it nice? No. But, you know, we were talking a little bit about lion behavior. You know, what do lions do when they fight? The one that wins goes, and the majority of the time they will kill all the offspring of the lion that they've beaten. It could be a baby. They will chew them to pieces and kill them right on the spot. And then they'll take the wife or the lioness, and basically it's rape. They just grab them and have sex with them. And that way they have the new lion, you know, a breed, the new bloodline. In nature, it keeps the bloodline strong. Now, parallel I was talking to you about is that this is like, you know, in the hood. You know, I mean, yes, white cops are killing black people, but there's more black people killing black people, homies and gangbangers. And it's almost like the same dynamic of the jungle. It's like the strongest gangsta survives. And,
I just,
you know,
I guess for me the setting seems off. Like, it's a university area. University cops are pretty much only used to monitor the safety and security of campus. Now, this guy probably looked a little ghetto. I mean, you didn't see the video, but the bottle that he handed the cop was a bottle of gin. So if I were the officer, this is how I would have handled it. I would have skipped over the license plate part and said, you're going to have to step out of the car because now you broke a violation for open bottle. So, you know, could you please step out of the car because now we have an issue on our hands. And maybe I sound a little too cerebral, like, you know, like most cops probably don't talk like me. But I guess I would have addressed that matter, too, that he was breaking the law by having an open bottle in the car. Who knows if he had been drinking?
Right. You know, the cop tried to Rambo it. And you think, well, why don't you just jump in your car, radio ahead? Obviously, homie isn't going to be going, you know, 60 miles an hour. Well, maybe he is. But the point, you know, I couldn't hear as clearly because I'm not in the same room as what you were playing.
Yeah, I didn't want to play it too loud.
Was the guy by himself?
Yes, he was in the car by himself. It was probably like a late 80s, early 90s model. And the gin bottle was, it looked like it was on the floor on the driver's side, like under his legs. Now, when, like you said, in the beginning of the video, they were congenial with each other, you know, like kind of like Southern friendly in a way. Like there didn't
right.
seem to be any immediate hostility between each other.
You know, here's another though thing to consider, Hammer, and that is we're looking hindsight 2020. Yeah, but to keep in mind, what if Brother Man reached in his glove box, pulled out a gun, and shot the cop? Now, what does a cop, you know, how can you bring that back? How can you roll back tape and go, well, you know, he seemed pretty much like he wasn't dangerous to me. That doesn't get you home alive. And I'm not saying the cop's justified. What I'm saying is it's a natural behavior when you have someone you pull over with warning signals. These are like little, you know, signs like danger, danger. There's a problem here. Something's going on. And then you get Mr. Alcohol going, and then maybe he's dressed like a little bit like a pimp or whatever. You start.
It wasn't a
rough.
Pimp. It was like a bad golfer.
Oh, okay. Okay, I get what you're saying. But with alcohol, you don't know. You know. Now in this case, it's probably 99%. Yeah, this is just a harmless person of color. You know, there's a 1% chance. Some cops go in with the attitude of like, that 1% chance is what's going to kill me. I'm not going to take a chance. So he went Rambo on him. Since his life wasn't in danger, he should just let the guy go. And
that's what the district attorney said the same thing, that He should have just let the guy go, and then someone would have caught up with him later. But
right.
I forgot to mention that Officer Tenzing lied. He lied to his superiors and tried to tell the story different than the body cam revealed, trying to say he was in much more danger.
Also, too, in defense of the black man, cops are trained to handle pressure situations, and they go to ranges, and they're taught as to what to shoot. You know, they walk down the street, and these things pop up, and boom, they take a shot, and it's like, oh, you know, that was a bad guy, that was a good guy, that was a kid, this is a dog. And it's a test of reflexes, a test of how quickly you can process information. So he had to go through academy. He had to go through all this testing. When you pull someone over and they're belligerent, here's how you handle it. It's not like, oh, I didn't know what protocol was or what procedure was. So cop totally blew it. You got to pay the price for it. You got to hang him high on this one. But I don't give a free pass to the brother man, because it's rules of the street. It's jungle survival, and he failed that end of it too. Now, how many people would anticipate? Well, it's hard to say, because he started his car and was going to drive away. That's where you get shot and killed. If you just said, okay, I'm arguing with you, officer, as long as you don't have a gun, they're probably going to push you around. But you start getting the old drive away thing, boy, you know, you open up the floodgates. I mean, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't try that one.
I guess, you know, the police do have a tough job, but in this case, it was a routine stop. You have to be prepared for anything. The other thing is the car, the motor was on and the car was in drive, so his car rolled like a block, and then, like, I think it crashed into some kind of concrete thing or fence or something. So the cop also took a risk by having a man inside a vehicle. I don't know if he knew it was in drive, but the car rolled for a half a block to a block before it stopped with a dead man at the wheel.
Which reinforces my point. He should have just shot the tires out, then the car wouldn't have rolled either.
The sad state of affairs is, I guess I just shouldn't turn the news on anymore.
Oh, no. It'll be okay.
In some ways, I'm not. And then, like, in Minneapolis today, they stalked the Minnesota dentist's house with words like killer and stuff like that. I don't think a lot of people in America can relate to big game hunting. Like, killing a lion for sport is just a waste of time, you know, just to get its head or whatever. Like, I mean, who even values that anymore? There's a black market in Indonesia of exotic animals, but those animals are kept alive and they're tried. I'm sure some of them die through the travel process, but at least in that situation, animals are kept alive.
Right. I've never gotten off on that stuff. I've never been a big fan of it. I don't see the high of, like, oh, I'm stalking this animal, and now I'm going to pull out my gun, and, you know, I got it in my sights. I like more like mano a mano. You want to go after the bear. Here's your knife, and then take 50 paces and go for it. Same thing like bullfighting. I don't quite get that.
Go ahead. You know, this guy shot him with a bow and arrow, and he had to be within 50 feet. So what's the victory in that? It's not like he wrestled with him in the wilderness.
Right. But on the other hand, you know, two other things is, as far as natural law is, although most animals don't kill for sport, they do violently eat each other alive, and they do crazy things to each other. And kind of going the other way too, with we go to the store, and most of us, unless you're a vegan, you know, you get a burger, you get some chicken, and we have no problem with it. Now, if you kill a dog or you kill a big cat, suddenly that life is special because maybe because we think it's closer to being like a family pet or a friend or even having human characteristics. A chicken, not too much. A million die each day. We don't really care. We have chickens for lunch. So I think some of it's perception of how we value certain things.
Yeah, there
it's
was
not
a
reality of animals
there
dying.
There was a big cat loose in Milwaukee, you know. And they've only the people who have photographed it. It's only like in a shadow-like form, and they're imagining that somebody's exotic got loose because the zoo's not missing anybody. But it's been seen in four different suburbs around Milwaukee, so it's been on the
really?
Loose quite a while, and nobody's caught it yet.
I'm sure it'll show up sometime around feeding time. You know, maybe have someone have that cop walk around disguised as a you know like an antelope or deer or something and see if he, you know, because he's a pretty good aim. So the cat will probably go after him, and he'd take a shot at it. Two
maybe they should hire the Minnesota dentist to find it. The
well,
fact
both
of the
both of them together.
You want to hear something funny? Like, okay, the Minnesota dentist got in trouble two other times in his life where he had some kind of expired fishing license. And then one time he shot a black bear in Wisconsin and he didn't have the right type of license for it. So he's been in, supposedly when you're at that high level of hunting, you're supposed to know all the ins and outs. Like the time of year you're supposed to do it and what geographic. Because in Minnesota, the wolf population has never been shot at, but in the last couple of years, the DNR in Minnesota allowed like 40 wolves to get killed a year or something like that. And then each
right.
person who kills a wolf has to turn in a document stating they did that. And then when the number 40 is reached, then nobody else can hunt them.
Is that because they're like public nuisance, like they're going into areas where people are or where their cattle are?
Yeah, like the Minnesota timber wolf used to be an endangered species. Well, now there's more aggressive wolves than there are deer. And the reason that they're allowing the wolves to be killed, I believe, I'm not certain, is because the deer population has died. We had two really bad winters in a row. The first one, 2012 to 2013, where the deer population died off quicker because of the, there was like an ungodly amount of snow, like 20 to 35 feet. So in that sense, I think the deer were being threatened by the wolves somehow, and that's why they decided to do it.
Well, by the way, just so you, the listeners are aware, I just went on a murder rampage right now. I just killed 20 ants. So here's the question. They're all God's creation. What makes my murders less hideous than the guy killing the, you know, the lion or the whatever? Now, in my case, I have to clean and sweep the room. They're trying to get rid of the ants, and if there are ants walking around, I'm going to get a complaint that I didn't do my job, you know, and I'm paid to do my job. But I'm just saying, what's the difference between killing an ant and killing a lion if they're both God's creatures?
Well, were the ants inside the house?
They were inside this person's personal space.
And were the ants fire ants?
You know, they're definitely, I wouldn't consider them a physical threat. However, the people who live here feel that they're hideous creatures that could bring diseases and even you know maybe spiritual entities into the house. So,
well, do you know what a fire ant is? It's where they jump up on your leg and bite you. Compared to other ants that just crawl on the ground.
These are just regular ants. They're the fire ants. They leave a nice little bump, don't they?
Yeah, they can jump. The strange thing about it is the only time in my life, I've only been attacked by fire ants twice. Once was in New Orleans when I was 15 with our church, and the other time was in front of our former job that we both worked at. It was a late hot summer day, and no, I'm sorry, it was in early June, and apparently, I don't know how it happened or why, but I was looking for something in my trunk, and they just started jumping up on my leg and biting me, and I got out of there really fast.
You were irresistible. Was the ant black?
No, it was red. They're red looking.
Okay, because, you know, you can have that black thing that you like or used to.
It wasn't a black on white crime. It was red on white.
Red on white crime. You're good, Hammer. You are.
Which turned, it turned my leg red, so it was a red on red crime. So
but
anyway,
I do bring a point. I do bring a point. We look at life and we put, you know, value assessments. Okay, like this is a, you know, a rare cat. And it's beautiful and is unique, and they are, they've got lots of style. But I'm just saying it's a creature. And then you have an ant, hardworking dude. You know, he can lift probably 50 times his weight. And wrong place, wrong time. We step on him, we don't even think about it, you know.
You know, I have a good parallel to this. One time when, you know, I lived with Ernest one summer, and but before I moved in with him, well, actually, I went to go see him in 94 before I moved, in 95 before I went to move there in 96. Well, I had to rent a car, and I had to return my a rented cell phone to the Oklahoma airport, because back then nobody had, very few people had regular cell phones. So I went to return the cell phone, and there was a girl stranded in the airport who was about 21, who was very beautiful and cool looking, but her ride never came and she was crying. So I offered her a ride from Tulsa to Fort Smith, Arkansas, which is about a 2-hour drive, because I was going to drive through the Ozarks the next day and stop in Missouri to see a friend. So actually I ended up stopping in Omaha, Nebraska, on the other side of the state. But we drove all the way through the country, and there were armadillos everywhere, like everywhere in the middle of the night. And then we got up off a country road. I remember we were lost, and the cop did stop us, but not to be mean. He did it just to try to help us. But I remember seeing these creepy armadillos crossing the road, and they were so ugly. And I think we did crunch one and kill it. But in that case, because they were ugly, I didn't mind. Are you still with us? John, okay, the call dropped, and I'm going to text him and tell him he can come back in. Okay? 1 second, please. Oh, here he is again. Did you catch the part where I ran over the armadillo?
Yes, I got to the punchline. It's like you were having crunchy McNuggets in a shell.
You know, those animals are so gross. They're ugly. They have pointy noses. They're not attractive. And they're creepy.
What are
it's
they
kind of like
of?
A giant... They're it's almost like a giant cockroach, except for they're slightly more attractive than a cockroach.
What do they eat?
I'll look it up while we're talking, but, you know, that part of the country, I'm not from there. But Texas,
right,
and Oklahoma, they have a lot of bugs down there.
Right. I can't imagine them sneaking up on anything. Unless it's
okay,
maybe
well,
a,
they're
you know.
Slow. You know, they're slow.
Yeah. I mean, they remind me kind of like heavy metal anteaters, you know?
I guess, you know, close up, they are kind of interesting looking. But in the middle of the night, they're not fun to look at. Okay, let's see here. They're New World placental mammals with a leathery armor shell. Just a second.
Are they like
here.
Possum?
No, because possums don't have a hard
with
shell. They're from the animal kingdom Animalia. And I'll read you a brief description. They're placental mammals with a leathery armor shell. Dasypodia is the only surviving family. Okay, just a second. They're in the category of anteaters and sloths.
Aha!
I'm not trying. I can't. They're creepy looking.
Yeah,
today, all armadillo, most of them are in South America, especially Paraguay, where 11 species exist.
Uh-huh.
Two species, the northern naked-tailed armadillo and the nine-banded armadillo, are found in Central America. The latter has reached the United States, notably Texas. It extends as far east as South Carolina, Florida, and as far north as Nebraska. So the only species that is in America is the nine-banded armadillo. And they have like a rigid back.
Sure.
Actually, the picture in Wikipedia is kind of cool looking. They're medium size. I'm trying to find something here. It doesn't say what they eat.
I think I should win a Johnny Award because I said, you know, they kind of remind me of an anteater. And here they are. They're from the same family.
Okay, it says they have terrible eyesight but a good sense of smell. They use their claws for digging and finding food, and they make their homes in burrows. They dig their burrows with their claws, making only a single corridor the width of their body. They have five clawed toes on their hind feet. They have 3 to 5 toes in heavy digging claws. Blah, 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 blah.
I think I dated a girl like that once.
Very funny.
She had terrible eyesight and she had claws.
It doesn't really say what they eat. They probably eat worms and stuff, you know?
I would think, yeah, or ants. If they're from the same family as the anteaters, they probably eat ants, too.
Okay, I'm looking it up. What do armadillos eat? I wonder what people are thinking if they're listening to our show.
Are they?
Please?
Do they vote Republican or Democrat usually?
They have long, sticky tongues for extracting ants and termites from their tunnels. They eat bugs, small vertebrates, plants, fruit, and the occasional carry-on meal. What was that about Democrats and Republicans?
Yeah, I wonder, do they vote left or right, or are they for socialized health care, these armadillos?
No, they're reporters. They dig deep. For icky stuff. Okay,
nice.
Well, how long do you want to talk tonight? Because I started the show at 1:30, and I've already gone 65 minutes. Half of it was by myself, half of it was you.
My phone's starting to get low, and I think someone wanted me to call them to ask a technical question. So I think we could start to wrap up, unless you want to dig deeper.
No, I'm going to play either Light of the Tunnel or New Way at the end. Okay, so my conclusion is that I started out with a cerebral concept that humans should only kill for survival. Therefore, like, let's say you don't get food stamps or you don't have a decent job. You can go kill deer in the winter if you want to supply your meat, like in northern Minnesota, like a lot of people do. One of my friends, she's married to a man who has a deer skinning, like a hide thing in his garage, and they kill probably like 4 deer a winter for food. And they also have 3 grandchildren living at home. They have 3 grandchildren under age 5 at home because, unfortunately, their daughter keeps getting pregnant. Now, the fact of the matter is you do not cross the national border.
Is she
go
cute?
Ahead.
Is she
She's
cute?
Gorgeous.
The daughter...
Gorgeous.
Go.
I work with her, but now she's severed the... I'm not going to go into her personal business online.
Do you have a phone number?
Her... She tied her tubes, so she can't have any more bambinos.
Oh, that's okay.
The fact of the matter is those people, they like venison. They eat it in the winter. They have a way to dismember the deer in their garage. Now, me, I'm not like a lefty all the way, but I don't really like killing any animals. And I've probably run a few squirrels over in my lifetime. You know,
here's a question for you, Jane. Let's just say you come out to California and we're hanging out. Maybe you invite a couple friends over, Laura or whoever. Slick's there. And we go, everyone hungry? And we say, yeah, I'm kind of hungry. And I go, you know what? You want to have some chicken or something like that? And they go, yeah, chicken's okay. Okay, be right back in a moment. And you start hearing in the background, you know, some cook, 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 cook. You know, and suddenly, like, you know, I come back, I got some blood on my hands. I got a chicken's head in my other hand. I throw it in the garbage can. I go, it's going to be, you know, I got to clean it up. It'll be another 30 minutes. What would your perception of having chicken dinner be?
I'll give you an example, okay? My friend Jason is raising 70 chickens in northern Minnesota at a cabin this summer. And I asked him, what is the lifespan of a chicken? And he said about 8 weeks, because I'm preparing them all to die for my dinner. Now, I used to work at a meat... I used to work at a meatpacking plant in Virginia, and there were goats. There weren't any cows, but I think there were a couple cows. There were goats, hens, chickens, and other types of animal in the front. At the end, that was on a Monday. By Wednesday, they were slaughtered in one part of the facility, processed in another part of the facility, and we worked in the office. By the end of the week, all the animals were gone. In other words, I saw them when I got there, and they were dead by the time the week was over.
Right.
That was upsetting. So the answer to your question is for a chicken, I wouldn't want to hear it die, but I guess I eat dead animals every day at McDonald's.
Right. It's like, you know, I guess the whole deal is if you don't see it and hear it, you don't personalize it. If you personalize the animal, then it has an impact. You know, kind of like if you had a frog or an ant or anything that you raise, you had an ant colony. I think ants, it's hard to get personal because you don't really see their eyes. I think if you see the eyes of the animal and it looks at you and it interacts in some way, you know, like a chicken might, then I think that's where you get more personal with it. Whereas
we have a baby turtle.
Yes, I don't think anyone's ever quite stared in the eyes of an ant, and the ants look back and kind of smile. They're always ready to run off the minute you get close to them. So maybe that's the issue. We don't personalize insects as much.
Well, we've had a baby turtle since January 2012, and now it's 3.5 years old. And it's probably like, it's the size of my palm now, the body part. It used to be the size of, like, if you put your finger in an O shape, it used to be that little.
Wow.
It likes us, but I can barely hold it because its feet like to move. And I play with it sometimes, but I also hold it up so it can see my eyes and I can see her eyes, and she knows my voice.
Wow.
And she's
a cool
turtle pet.
Whisper.
Yeah, it's a nice pet to have because they don't talk or bitch, but you just clean the water once a day and then feed it 2 times
nice.
A day. Okay,
that's
well,
pretty cool.
My conclusion is, in the name of Darwinian survival, only take what you need from the earth. If you can eat a piece of celery instead of a hamburger, you're even more efficient. So don't cross international borders to kill something for sport. It's unethical. In the modern day where we share the earth with 7 billion people, there's no reason why any lion has to be killed. unless it's disease-ridden and spreading disease. So that's my conclusion.
Wow.
And what's yours? Let's see. My conclusion, follow the truth wherever it leads you. What was the name of that officer that got arrested?
Tenzin.
Yeah, well, follow the truth wherever it leads you, unless it leads you to a stop, in one of those pullover stops with RoboCop Kenzing.
I have a trump card. Follow the truth wherever it leads you, unless it's with a one licensed car and a bottle of empty gin.
I tell you, you know, we needed that joke like I need a hole in my shot in my head.
So Don, Jane, and John's fall excursion, we're going to go to the Britney Spears concert in Nevada, and then we're taking a rent-a-car across the country to drive through Oklahoma and Texas to see armadillos at night.
Oh, by the way, here's something that may slightly intrigue you. You're probably not a big sports fan, but there's a talk radio a personality for sports. His name is Colin Cowherd, and they always say get into the Cowherd. And he's basically, you know, he's kind of like Ryan Seacrest, but with an edge. It's like if you saw him, you kind of like, yeah, looks a little bit like him. He's kind of, in a way, even though he's mouthy, he's not like a macho voice. He's kind of like a high-end kind of, this is Colin Cowherd kind of voice, you know. So it's kind of like a wimpy guy, like someone who likes sports, but he, you know, I don't think he could go out in the court and really, you know, cover his
Is he profound?
Smart guy. He's got some good points, and he always kind of rubs people the wrong way in a smart way. But the point is that he's been on ESPN. He's got really good ratings. He replaced a lot of different people along the way. And this last week, he was talking about baseball, and there's been a lot of influx of, like, Dominican players, players from Cuba, players from island places, because they're cheaper to get, and they're extremely talented, and they're either black or they're kind of mixed. You know, they're minority. They're not white. And so their physical skills are really good. And he made a comment how that the players, basically, they're just not that smart. You know, like they're interesting players, but not that interesting because they're not intellectual. And he kind of said it in a way that was half true. I mean, a lot of the guys that come over, say from Cuba, they're not straight A valedictorian scientists. They're guys who are on the streets that might have ended up, you know, had a life of crime. Instead, they chose baseball or sports or soccer or things like that, and they stayed off the streets. But they're not rocket scientists. And so he was. It's funny. He was kind of stating a half truth, and they fired him. I mean, they basically
what did
suspended
he say?
Him. He just said that basically he wasn't that excited about following the players like from the Dominican and other places because they're not the most intelligent players. He said something to that effect. Kind of
like
in other words, he
generalized.
Yeah, they're not cerebral players. They're just kind of, you know, jocks. They're not big thinkers. And he said that's come. He's, you know, not so excited about a lot of the new players that have come from Cuba and from you know, the Dominican, the Caribbean countries, island countries. And it was true. I mean, most of, like example, a guy like for the Dodgers, Puig. This guy, he's charismatic. He's funny. He's extremely talented. He's also been pulled over a couple times, like driving 120, 130 in his sports car, and just kind of, and not like a druggy person, but a little reckless. He's definitely not the kind of guy that you would figure you're going to plan your business estate with. You know, he's not an architect guy. He's just a jock who goes out there, and he's a hot-headed dude. He doesn't think like an intellectual player. So, I mean, he kind of stated the obvious.
Well,
most of these guys come over, they're not the smartest guys.
That sports announcer guy has to think of, even though people are you know, those Dominican Republic players, they probably practice like 10 hours a day from age 13 to 20. Like, he has to think of the hardships. He has to think of the hardships they endure just to get to America, and maybe only like 10% out of all the talented group gets to go. So,
and
I mean,
most
of them,
they're living at home, sleeping on the floor, or something like that, with, if, you know, 10 brothers and sisters kind of thing, or 6 people in one room. There's a saying, because usually with the other thing, when the players come over here, they're not disciplined. They're swinging at a lot of pitches. They're trying to show off, you know, they're showboating. They're trying to go for the most dramatic thing instead of playing it safe and smart. And part of that comes from actually the survival of it, because you got to stand out and be a star player to get over here. They say you can't walk your way off the island. You know, in baseball, if you don't swing the bat and the pitcher throws 4 balls, you walk to first base. And so the saying is, you can't walk your way off the island. You know, you have to stand out that you're a guy who can hit home runs and be spectacular. No one's going to sit there and go, well, he walks a lot, you know. So it kind of encourages that when they get over here, it's a habit. Like, they swing at bad pitches. They don't play baseball like chess. Like, baseball is a chessboard game, basically. It's a thinking man's game. It's very slow and plodding. You're calculating every move. But they're playing it more like football or basketball. You just, you know, run past everyone and slam them right between the eyes. And so he actually was stating kind of the truth of how they play, most of the players. But what was surprising is he prides himself in being this smart, you know, a smart ass. And here he just said, you know, something racial, just stupid. You know you're going to get fired. Even if it, say, is the truth, you're going to get canned.
It's kind of like that thing you mentioned a few weeks ago with that sports guy who called those black girls nappy-headed hoes, the one who won the national championship in basketball.
Yeah,
an uncalled-for statement.
Right.
Like, you know, even like, if, just use your head if you're at that level, you know, why even go there, you know?
I think, too,
well,
in the case of, I don't think he said the original statement. His co-host said something like, you know, look at those girls. Oh, my goodness. And I think he was looking at the tattoos. They did look ghetto. They look like they could beat the crap out of them. And I think he said something, either he mentioned ho or nappy-headed or something like that, and Imus put them together. Yeah, nappy-headed hoes. And so he kind of got set up in a way. He walked you right into it. But,
well, I didn't know that, but I thought he coined the term.
If you're walking down the street or, like, biking home like me at 2 in the morning and you saw 5 of these girls showing up with their tats and, you know, the whole full effect, there would probably be half the people would go, it's a bunch of nappy-headed hoes. I mean, they would think that in their mind, you know, something to that effect. He stated
the whole part is the worst. I mean, nappy-headed is an insult, but ho is, you know, these are premier female basketball players that probably worked their butt off since junior high. They deserve better. They're not like street-walking hookers.
Guess what he was saying is that they look like someone off the street that was trashy. You know, they didn't look classy.
I think it was a team
like,
that wasn't expected to win, too. It was like a college that wasn't usually the type to win.
I think if they had said something more like they look like thugs, it would have been accurate, but he still would have gotten canned over it. And that's the thing. It's the era that we live in. You just can't say anything derogatory or negative, even if it's truthful about a minority. You can.
Well, you know what? It would be like calling a white person a greasy-headed cracker. I mean,
yeah, but you won't get,
because a lot of white people have stringy hair. Now, my son has thick curly hair, and my brother-in-law has called his head nappy before. My nephew Benjamin has curly hair. He's half black, but my son has thick, woolly hair.
You can make fun of white people, though, and you can make fun of trailer park trash. You're not going to get fired. You're just not. But if you mock any minority in your radio personality or TV star, then you're going to get nailed on it. So that's just the dynamic. And in a way, that's kind of racist, too, because if it's white, it's open market. If it's a Christian, it's open market. You know, if it's a religious person, open market. But you start hitting a minority and suddenly, you know, everyone gets in an uproar. And they should.
It's
but
still not
it
very
easy.
Nice.
Right, but have you ever seen anyone get fired for saying a joke about Christians or evangelists or preachers? I know. They do it all the time.
Unfortunately, it seems like racial sensitivity often goes only in one direction.
Yeah.
Right? Well, by the way, our ratings have tripled since I started running for school board. So I'm sure somebody will be listening to this episode.
Your ratings have tripled?
Yeah, in the Blog Talk archives. Like people, once our show goes into the past, like after in 1 hour, it can be posted on archives or in iTunes. We've gotten 30 hits in 48 hours.
Maybe it's your competition sizing you up. They're listening to your comments so they can knock you down.
Probably. But I'm not talking about the school board tonight. I'm not talking about the school board tonight, though. All right, well, Janessa's going to hit the rack. How about you?
Yes. Well, you know, just for the record, Jane Hoffman, the Hammer, did not say nappy-headed hoes. She's merely repeated what Don Imus said many years ago. And her son's
black. It was about 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
And her son, you get a pass, your son's black.
This greasy-headed Flo is going to bed.
Excellent. Good choice.
And you're the soft, curly-haired bro.
You know, you should play Enter the Sandman when you get ready to close the show at night.
The Sandman? You mean like that song,
Sandman,
take me away? Oh, I forgot to tell you. This is my closing statement. I sang Whitney Houston, Bob Dylan, and Frank Sinatra at open mic tonight at the Beaners Central.
All at once?
I started choking on I Will Always Love You, so I told the audience I wasn't on my A game, so I switched to a Dylan song.
I see. And you did Sinatra and Michael Jackson too?
I did Fly Me to the Moon. Do you want to sing it together with me right now? Or
no.
You don't know the words? Fly
don't know the
me
words.
To the moon. Go ahead.
I have no idea how it goes. I just know how
okay.
It hums.
Okay, I'll sing two bars, and then I'm going to end the show with No Way, okay? Okay?
Now
it's... Here we go. Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. Okay, I'm switching to New Way now, okay?
Cool.
Good night.
Good night, Hammer. Good night, America.
Yeah.